back to another great edition of Talking Ticks. I'm Scott Gerard. Joining me as always, Tommy Johnson and Daniel Zellinger. Got some good news on LSU baseball. Pretty much definitely going to the postseason now. I mean, still some things to be sorted out after the SEC tournament, but we feel good about our chances, but more wins couldn't hurt. So there's that, and I mean, that's pretty much it, really, because, you know, it's the end of the season. We're in the postseason now for everything. I mean, people are graduating. Baseball regular season is over. I mean, this is usually where we could probably exhale, but, you know, wouldn't you know it, LSU is going to be in the postseason. So I don't know. How you guys doing?
Hey, good to be with you. Good to be, I guess, you know, celebrating a sweep in the SEC. You know, that's exciting.
Absolutely.
Maybe what, 52 games late, but we're either way. I mean, you know, good weekend of baseball and kind of played your way, backdoored your way into potential postseason play. And, you know, happy to talk about it with you.
Yep, I'm back at the home base now after being on vacation last week. So back in Florida where it's hot. And LSU, thankfully, is kind of getting hot at the right time as well on the diamond. Hopefully it's not too little too late, but positive things all around, especially for the seniors on the baseball team and their last appearance in the box. So that was fun to watch, and wishes we could have had this product on the field all year, but I guess we'll take what we can get now. So happy to be breaking that down with y'all.
Absolutely. They are getting hot at the right time. It showed. I mean, granted, we did lose that series to Alabama. That was a heartbreaker, but I mean, they're a formidable opponent. But I mean, other than that, I mean, LSU still had a pretty good streak going. I mean, we've won 14 out of our last 19 games. And as far as the SEC, we definitely made it into the SEC tournament. Got that coming up this week, obviously. But I think it would solidify our selection into a regional somewhere. Probably, you know, definitely not of our hosting. But I don't know. I think one win in the SEC tournament should probably seal the deal, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what we talked about. Talked about before, I guess what we have 13 SEC wins now. You know, with I think the target number is 14. A win in the SEC tournament gets us there. I think that we'll be given a little bit of a benefit of the doubt if we look hot towards the end, you know, as we look hot, you know, in the last series, and then if we maybe win a game or two in the tournament, we'll be given the benefit of the doubt as like just because we are LSU. And then, you know, I hate to do the whole like, oh, anything can happen thing, because it's like, I mean, this team doesn't necessarily, I'm sorry, this team does not deserve to win the national championship or go to Omaha, but they definitely are talented. I wouldn't say they're they're not as talented as you need to be. They're not as consistent as you need to be, but they are talented, and who knows? I guess, you know, anything could happen.
Right. If I had to give the postseason chances a number right now, I'd say it's probably 60% in, even if we lose our first game against Georgia. And if we do win against Georgia, then it's probably like 90% in. And then anything else after that is just a bonus, especially considering Georgia is a top 10 team in the country who we're going to be playing a first round of the SEC tournament. And so that would be a nice resume stamp. And they have the country's leader in home runs, Charlie Condon, as well. So he'll be looking to mash. And I'm not sure who we're going to start on Tuesday, considering all the weekend starters will be coming off short rest. So it might be a bit of an all hands situation there. Well, it'll be interesting to see how Jay Johnson plays that. But yeah, a sweep of Ole Miss. We hadn't had that all year in the SEC. So that felt nice. The pitching was really solid overall, top to bottom. Even Thatcher Hurd got a little action on the last day, which it was his best outing of the year, even if it was only like one inning. But yeah, everybody played well, especially Tommy White. He put on a show in his last series at the box, gave the fans something to watch. I think three home runs, like a triple, two doubles. And yeah, he was going out on top. So good for them and all the rest of the seniors in their last weekend.
Yeah, and I'd say it pretty much all started, at least this one I noticed, when it Tommy White, of all people, hit a home run off of some fan's head in left field in the bleachers. And I think ever since then, these Tigers, you know, this team's got so much lore in its history that, you know, there's the possum game. Yeah. So to me, it's like bouncing, you know, hitting a dinger off some dude's dome started something. And that's what we're seeing. Yeah, maybe a little bit too late, but maybe not. I mean, this is exactly how Ole Miss made a run for their title. I mean, I'm with you, Tommy. I don't think that this team is, you know, I don't think it's got it. But I will say this. Just looking around at the league, this tournament could be anybody's. Like you said, even Georgia's in the top 10. I mean, they have Earl pitching coach. You know, I guess good luck to them, right? But, yeah, we want to take them down because it's single elimination. So I think you got to put your best pitcher there. But this tournament is so stacked that it's just ridiculous.
Well, I mean, this is an LSU team that took 2 out of 3 from A&M on the road. So, like, and when they were the number one team in the country. So, there's definitely, like you said, like there's capability and anything can happen as far as how stacked the SEC is. And, you know, in this tournament, single elimination, but, you know, on average, I'm not betting on LSU this year with the track record that we've seen, even with the recent, you know, successes, you know, highlighted by this sweep of Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You just got to kind of take it one game at a time and enjoy the ones that are presented to you, which, it'll be 9:30 a.m. Central Time on Tuesday for our first game. So got to set your alarm clocks for that. And then match up against Kentucky if we do beat Georgia. And Kentucky, who was the number one team in the country for a portion of the year as well. So no easy wins for sure, like you said. And we'll see how the committee sees things after that. Our RPI, which is kind of the power rankings, has LSU at, checking real quick, number 30 overall in the country. So that's pretty good as far as like an at-large team. I think there's like 28 like automatic bids or something. So just by that metric, we should be in. But
yeah,
I know they like to kind of spread the bids out. And given that we don't even have a winning record in the SEC play, then we're not maybe the most attractive team, but we've played a hard schedule as well. And yeah, I feel like it's hard. This is kind of homerism, but I feel like it's hard to leave out the defending national champion who's won like 4 or 5 SEC series at the end, played extremely tough schedule, and definitely has shown promise like we have in some games.
I'm trying to think, Mississippi State and Ole Miss, did they miss the tournament? Like, did they miss the miss the playoffs completely?
The next year,
The past 2 years.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know if they just kind of were like us and like were on the bubble, but yeah, they just missed it completely.
Exactly. They made the tournament themselves. They did okay. There's just a lot of parity in the league. But if you look around, it's one good thing. You know, we talked about Tommy having that really good game, and LSU's going to need a lot of games like that. You know, at least 3-4 in a row, right? Because what we're starting to see them is maybe hitting a stride where they're taking advantage of some opportunities. A lot of them actually with 2 outs. So, you know, kudos to them, whoever helped turn that around. But the Tigers are taking advantage of their opportunities, which is allowing them to get, you know, a six run fourth inning to kind of seal it up against Ole Miss and take the sweep. But I mean, just looking around at the league, you have other teams doing that. You had Auburn scored back-to-back 6-run innings to beat Alabama. I mean, and Alabama was still getting like 6-run innings here and there. They just lost 12-11, but that's going on. Vanderbilt scored like 16 or 17 against Kentucky. You know, the team we were just talking about. I think they won the overall, like the regular season championship too, right? Yeah. So you had that. Then just A&M beat Arkansas 14-4. So LSU's got to bring their bats to Hoover. We can't get by on this 4-3 run inning. Although I feel like our pitchy can help us, but I mean, they're not going to last longer than 5-6 innings probably.
Yeah, especially on short rest, given that it's Tuesday. Maybe they'll start jump on short rest coming off of Friday, but I would only expect to get like maybe 3 or 4 innings out of him at that length, and then see who else you can bring in. Herring again threw well both Friday and Saturday against Ole Miss, so he could probably plug in for a couple. And then somebody like Ackenhausen or Gavin Guidry as well, kind of in the meantime. So hopefully they can step up to the plate and on a big stage and get things done. I haven't seen the weather forecast, but it always seems like it's pouring down rain at Hoover, and the schedule gets all jacked up, and they have the games like going way late. But we'll see if things hold off in that department as well.
Yeah, well, they primed us for that this weekend because they postponed or they delayed or had to restart at least two out of the three games. I mean, there was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, but I think that was mostly so they could finish the SEC slate and have the tournament picked in time so they could do an early ASS game on Tuesday morning. And lucky us, we got it. I mean, if we'd have just lost two games, we probably would have made it and not have to play at 9:30, but I mean, you don't want to lose that. But yeah, I don't know. I'd say we're, you know, if there was a such thing as an eye test, at least we're looking good. You know, our whoever we pitch on Tuesday morning, I imagine it'll be one of our two starters since it's our really only game. We don't have any house money to play with yet.
Yeah, no reason to save any pitchers, I would say.
Yeah, so I would say it's probably either Holman or Jump. Probably Jump since he's had the most rest, right? But knowing he's probably going to be limited maybe to like 3-4 innings maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, I think it's kind of 6-1, half dozen of the other. We've seen good things out of both of them. We've seen not so good things out of both of them. It's not a clear choice. Like, oh man, we got one game left, and we've got Skeens. Like, you have to pitch him no matter what the rest is. No matter right. how many innings you get out of him, you want every one of those innings he has. With either of them, it's like kind of like, well, I hope we get the best out of them.
Yeah, not to get sidetracked, but. Man, his second game was so much better than his first. Paul Skeens.
I know, yeah.
Dude had a no-no going. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Daniel, I thought he was overrated.
Maybe he is. Time will tell. But yeah, I think he had, 11 strikeouts and a no-hitter, six innings with one walk. Did they pull him on a no-hitter just out of, like,
pitch count? No, I think he had one hit.
Oh, okay.
He made it seven innings, I think, right? Yeah. They pulled him after seven? Or I guess six and... I don't know, six and a third, something like that.
Because that had been his limitation in the minors. I guess they were not trying to blow his arm out right out of the gate, but kind of keeping him on like that four innings of work. And so he stretched out even more and was topping out over 100 basically the whole time. So looking like the real deal so far. So Pirates fans are happy for that. And it's almost unheard of to have a pitcher come straight out of college, work straight up through the minors so quickly and already be in MLB play.
I mean, the closest I can think of, and it wasn't exactly the same, but I mean, like Strasburg kind of did that.
Mm-hmm.
Because Strasburg went to San Diego State for, was it a year or two? He was only there for a little bit. And then, I mean, he was playing it for the Nationals. I think he was drafted and was playing for the Nationals within this first season. Mm. He was, you know, a generational talent who had a lot of good years, led them to a World Series. So maybe we can see the same out of Skeens. It's a similar situation in that, you know, when the Nationals picked up, they had two drafts in a row where they got Strasburg, and then the next year they got Harper, and those two were the kind of cornerstones that eventually got them to the World Series. I mean, it took him a long time to get to that point because I think Harper probably came up in 2011 or 12, and they won in 2019. So it took 7 years, but you know, who knows? It could happen for the Pirates.
Mm-hmm. Who knows? But definitely keep an eye on that. Yeah, obviously they're going to manage him very closely, but. Amazing start for him. Still remains to be seen on Tuesday. Do you think they were as far as who we're going to pitch? But do you think I don't know, like maybe Jay Johnson. Like, honestly, I feel like they've done. If they didn't beat Georgia, then I don't know. Is that really going to count against it? It's our, you know, we've already got such a strength of schedule. It's postseason. I feel like sweeping Ole Miss, kind of like you said, maybe 60%, but. Maybe he does throw the whole staff approach at it. Just, I don't know.
I think you really try and just get this one win to solidify your position. If you lose, it's not disastrous, I would say, but maybe slightly concerning, especially if we lose it in a bad fashion, like by five runs or more. And then the committee's like, well, they couldn't get it done. We don't really feel bad about leaving them out because they just didn't do enough. But if you win, then your case is very strong, even if you get knocked down by Kentucky right afterwards. So I do think Jay Johnson will use an all hands on deck approach to try and get this one, but it'll be no easy task considering Georgia's had a very good season for themselves.
No, I agree. I think that for, you know, if we're being realistic, that the realistic goal is not to win the SEC championship. Like it's, that'd be very difficult for us to do. So I think that, you know, what would be what's best for, and then also, you know, let's say you run off and win the SEC championship, like sure you would automatically be in the playoff, but I don't think you're getting I don't think that wins your regional necessarily. So.
Do you think that would be a top 16 seed though?
I mean, I don't know. I'd have to look at, I don't know the whole, like how everybody else would be.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's not realistic to expect that. And so for Jay Johnson planning, it's like the goal is to get in the dance.
Yeah. So just give him a shot.
We need to give it all on this one game. And then if we win this one, then we'll go from there. But it's, you know, it's about getting into the playoff, not.
Yeah. I think that's what we said last year too. Like we don't really need to, cause I mean, we did so well during the season. We knew we were going to be in the postseason hosting something.
We knew we were going to host. We knew we were probably going to host a super at that. Yeah. Like, host exactly. Everything in it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's why to us, I remember thinking, I mean, the SEC tournament's not that important right now. It really wasn't. Rest was, I think that's what.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
And we lost the SEC tournament last year, right?
Yeah.
To Tennessee?
I believe so. Didn't Vanderbilt win the tournament? Could be wrong on that.
I don't even remember. I mean, it's kind of weird. It's like, you know, it's the same thing as like as basketball. Like, you know, you can win the SEC. The conference tournaments like don't matter in the same way that I feel like the SEC championship in football does. For the national championship,
it matters very much to like the small leagues where the tournament win gets you into the March Madness or into the NCAA baseball tournament. But yeah, for like the SEC or the ACC, it's like, wow, like good job, you won. You had to play six extra games than everybody else, and kind of just get stressed out in that way. And it's a good accomplishment, but yeah, it's like you don't really go home and say like we were the SEC tournament champions when you could have won the national championship.
Right. Yeah, I think it's still like a good thing to celebrate, but it's not as, I feel like in football, it's like the goal is always to win the SEC championship because you know if you win the SEC championship, more is to come. Mm-hmm. You're going to be in the conversation. Of course, now with the 12-team playoff, you could just win a couple games and you're in the conversation. But looking back at that past, we haven't seen that yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not to get too sidetracked, but I'm ready for the first scenario when it's like better to not even play in the SEC championship and then just scoot straight into the football playoff instead of the team that sneaks into the SEC championship loses and then you get the boot. We've seen Alabama do something like that.
What else?
Any other football news?
Well, I mean,
you know what?
Oh, God.
No, I was just going to say there. I mean, there was some small, minor recruiting news. I mean, I don't know. I guess LSU can no longer tote the fact that they have the number one quarterback, running back, and wide receiver in the country anymore because that wide receiver decommitted, didn't he?
Yep. That's DeCorian Moore.
Yeah.
Correct. And where's he out of, Daniel?
Out of Duncanville, Texas. We got his commitment back in the, around January. And that was when we were trying to get Colin Simmons, who was like the number one linebacker in this year's class from the same high school. And we ended up not getting him, but got Moore. And then it was all the hype, like you said, Scott, because we had number one quarterback, Bryce Underwood, number one running back, Harlan Berry, out of Louisiana. So but now Moore is, he's off the board, at least for now. He posted it kind of cryptically. He said his recruitment is not open, but he's decommitted, which doesn't really make sense. There's this thing kind of just reeks of tampering, like other schools being on the phone and saying like their NIL or their booster money is getting stepped up here. And then he's kind of trending. Some people think he's staying home and going to UT, going to Texas, or Oregon's also in the mix. I wouldn't say that LSU is out of it, but maybe fading a little bit quickly here, which is sad considering this guy seems like a bit of a bag chaser in general, and Brian Kelly may not be 100% willing to commit to that approach.
Interesting timing.
I think that it times well, or well, I don't know about well, but it's aligned with the recent interview that Brian Kelly did with Jacques Doucet here in Baton Rouge. That he's like a, you know, local CBS guy, where he said, I mean, he basically said like, look, our collective, our NIL apparatus is like not where it needs to be. And so I'm not going to be able, you know, I can't go out and just buy players like other schools can right now. You know, like, so there has to be, I have to sell something other than just here's the money, come to play for me. And there, I think there are good things and bad things about that approach. Like, you know, you definitely have more buy-in. I don't know what level that is. I mean, I think about like a guy like Devin White. I mean, who was you know at LSU not that long ago. I mean, this, it feels like a long time ago, but 2018 when he was a junior, it's what, 6 years ago. You know, that was a guy who agonized over going to the NFL, which was probably the best decision for him at the time, but he didn't want to leave. How many people like that are, how many, you know, kids coming up now are going to be like that with their school when it's kind of all about their NIL deal? In the same way, or in a similar situation, Dabo Swinney has, you know, committed to basically not taking any transfer portal guys for that reason, not really embracing NIL for that reason. Because he wants the buy-in in the same way that we've been used to for 100 years in college football. I don't know. We've dealt with recruits like this for years. Rakeem Jarrett, you know, Jermaine Burton are names that come to mind. Birch, that defensive end from South Carolina who was in, then he was out. And of course, gosh, that tight end, what was that guy's name? The greatest tight end of all time.
Oh, Eric Gilbert.
Eric Gilbert. Yeah. You know, so like we've dealt with kind of diva players who are, you know, who could commit, decommit, all that for years now. But it does seem like it's not, you know, Moore's fault, but it's just kind of the symptom of the new system.
You just need to focus on keeping the top in-state prospects locked down coming to LSU. That's always been our bread and butter, considering Louisiana has a very high per capita rate of production
NFL players.
Yeah. Of college and NFL production. And then kind of reaching out to Texas and Mississippi and a few other places when we have the opportunity to steal people from theirs. For a minute, Ed Orgeron's strategy was the Cali to the boot. And
oh, yeah.
The whole kind of national recruiting search. And Brian Kelly seems to have pivoted a bit more back to a local type scheme, which seems to be working well for the most part. And then plugging the gaps with transfer portal players like Jaden Daniels and others. So we'll see if that continues. But overall, the 2025 class is still good, still solid. And so hopefully we can fill that out with additional top talent.
How do we feel? And I mean, I know we're kind of early on. Maybe we'll have a whole summer to talk about this, but losing, you know, the number one wide receiver in the country, it made me think about, and I just pulled up the roster right now. I'm looking at like, how do we feel about the wide receiver groups right now? Because gosh, since at least 2017, I feel like we've had really, really, really solid wide receiver play. If, you know, some of the best in the country, between Jamar Chase, between Justin Jefferson, and Malik and Kayshon Boutte, and I mean the list goes on. You know, Terrace Marshall, Brian Thomas, like all these players. Who is that guy who's going to be the, is it Kyron Lacy?
It's hard to say, cause you're right. There's not a true kind of number one guy you can point to. The people that LSU was hoping will step up are Kyron Lacy and
Shelton.
Yeah, Shelton Sampson and Chris Hilton, who's shown flashes. Chris Hilton, who actually appeared in the recently announced EA College Football trailer, catching a pass from Quinn Ewers of Texas. So we'll see if they make a step. And then CJ Daniels, a transfer from Liberty, who had a lot of production there. He's have some veteran leadership. Maybe he steps into that role. But, yeah, I'm not sure. Garrett Nussmeier has to throw to somebody. So it's likely that somebody will emerge. But it would be nice to have that guy you can really lean on in times of distress like we have in the past.
Somebody like Trendon Holiday, they could just burn rubber down the field and get open, get under a pass, because Nuss is ready to toss it.
He's ready to hurl it. Maybe another name to look out for. We didn't see as much out of him as I hoped we would, but was a huge recruit coming out of high school, Aaron Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's ready for a kind of an emergent year.
Right. Maybe. We'll see.
And Brian Kelly might have promised him something, because originally he was committed to Alabama and he was there for a year before transferring back home to Louisiana. So Brian Kelly enticed him to leave Bama for LSU and didn't really get the production that we were hoping for this year. So maybe he takes a step forward. But I guess we'll find out in time. Yeah. Similar situation to the running backs, so we don't really have an A1 back there. It'll probably be Caleb Jackson for the most part, but lacking in some depth also.
I honestly feel, and maybe this is just me, the bar for running back is set a lot lower. We haven't had really great running game in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, last year our running game was Jaden Daniels. We're not going to have that this year, but I'm actually more confident or I don't know, confident, but more, I guess confident, more confident in our running back situation with Josh Williams returning. He's been a solid, I mean, he's never going to be, I don't know if he's going to get drafted. I don't know if he's ever going to play a snap of professional football, but he's a very solid running back and has been for 3 years. I think Caleb Jackson showed a lot of flashes. I forget which game it was. Was it Florida last year when he ran off for a really nice
and ran over?
Yeah, exactly. But Daniel, I agree with you. The depth is not great at the running back position. But I look at wide receiver and think there might be more depth. But I don't think I don't see a breakout star yet. But who knows?
Right. Definitely time will tell. But I don't know. I mean, I guess you can't really tell anything from the spring game.
Yeah.
But, that's mostly just focused on who's with us right now. So, maybe someone coming in or if there's still freshmen that are coming in, freshmen for next year. Then maybe someone will surprise, kind of like Caleb Jackson did on his freshman year.
Maybe. I don't think we have any real like blue chip wide receiver that are true freshmen. So maybe so. We got three guys: Kylan Billiot, I think his name. Michael Turner, I could say that name, and Jelani Watkins.
One thing I know about Watkins is he's like crazy fast. Like his team in like Texas high school track just set like the national record, like in the 4x1. And he's like the run to anchor leg on that. So he might be that guy you mentioned, Scott, that just takes the top off the defense.
Right. Hopefully. I mean, we need somebody like that. We've had great receivers, right? But man, it'd be nice to have just a speedy weapon, just a speedster.
One note, we have a 4-star wide receiver coming out of John Curtis, Michael Turner. He's coming in at 142 pounds. So I'm going to guess he's not SEC ready.
No, And speaking of
conditioning,
I had an update on our pod, one of our pod favorite high school recruits, Jordan Allen, coming out of Buford High School in Georgia. I think it might be the same for him because he, I think he's a smaller stature. I don't know if he's grown as much from when I, first saw him. And
when you first recruited him,
when I kind of put him on Ryan Day's map.
Yeah.
So he signed with Louisville actually. So he's going to become a card. Yeah.
Congrats to Jordan. He might be one of the most talked about players on this podcast. Right. And he's never had anything to do with LSU. So
ever.
That's exciting for him. I just pulled him up on 247. He's class of 2025. He's got Michael Turner beat by almost 20 pounds. He's 170 pounds at 5'8". That's a nice athletic build.
Yeah.
Michael Turner was 6'1 at 142.
Okay.
He's a slim reaper.
Right.
But good congrats to Jordan Allen. Are you going to be able to, you think you're going to go catch and play this season, senior year?
I'm going to try. You know, I was living right down the street from him. It wasn't during football season, though. I wasn't too far, not too long ago. But, just for old time's sake, I'll probably do like a, where are they now type of thing.
Yeah.
I'll go film this game again. Hopefully I'll see Ryan Day or whoever's coaching them by that point. But, Kirby might fly in on the helicopter again. Who knows?
You go catch Ryan Day, and then you'd be like, hey, man, you should have listened to me 3 years ago. This guy just committed to
Louisville. Right, exactly. And he'll remember me, too, I'm sure.
Oh, I bet he will.
Yeah. Anywho, anything else worth talking about that y'all saw? No?
I don't think so. The only other thing I had was LSU softball just won their regional today, so they're on to the super regional against the winner of the Stanford one next weekend, so good for them. Hopefully baseball can follow in those footsteps for postseason success. And so, yeah, this is the softball's first super regional since 2021, so they've had a nice year as well. I haven't really watched any of the games, but I know there are kind of a surprising amount of softball fans out there who do tune in, so good for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, speaking of, surprising number of fans, like the WNBA was setting good numbers. I mean, I think it was mostly because of Caitlin Clark, but I don't know. It'd be interesting to see if they do start to keep those numbers, because that's the one thing. It's got to be consistent. But it's like, I don't know, what she did on the court wasn't that great. It was kind of like an introduction to the WNBA. Angel Reese had a pretty good game, but I mean, I don't know. It's all about sustainability because their name was hot. Like they drove numbers up for women's basketball. I imagine that, perks some ears. But mm-hmm. Is there another superstar that they can glob onto and keep that going? Because that seems to be what it was about. Just what this one girl and other players were doing. We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll cover that in our WNBA summer special.
Yeah, we're actually going to start a whole new podcast just for our WNBA coverage.
Right.
But all of our listeners will have to pay for it. It's going to be behind the paywall.
Oh, there we go. Okay, excellent.
Yeah.
As it should be. I mean, these girls are grabbing big numbers. Other than that, I think that about do it for us here on Talking Tigs. Definitely tune in next week. We'll have the wrap up of the SEC tournament and where LSU might be heading. Don't know if they'll be hosting a regional, but I think just making a regional would be great, and we'll see what they can do. Who knows? It might be a good matchup, a good location that's favorable to them. I think the only thing that would not be favorable, but it's really hard to avoid, is going to some other SEC team that's hosting a super regional, right? It's like we might get a favorable regional, but then, the last thing you want to do is play some other team that we just play, some other series we had 3 weeks ago, with a super regional with a potential chance to go to the World Series. But I mean, obviously, you're going to face that in the World Series should you make it that far. But I just think it would be good if LSU got to play outside of the SEC. We'll see what happens, That would be cool. Other than that, we'll stay safe, stay tuned, and we will talk to you next time on Talking Tigs.